Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. I'm joined as always, pretty much always, by the miracle man, Max Montana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
And our guest today, USAPL 57 kilo national champion, Grand Prix real champion, super total queen, Megan Scanlon. Meg, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So, We'll obviously talk about your fantastic Arnold performance plenty here, but before we get into all that, let's get to know the woman behind the abs. You know, not just the lifting, but where do you live? Where do you train? All that good stuff. How old are you? These aren't answers for me. These are for the people listening at home.
I live right outside of Boston. I am 31 years old. I feel like I'm going on a blind date right now. I love long walks on the beach. Started lifting, powerlifting like 3 years ago, but before that was doing some marathons and Ironmans. Kind of forgot the other questions, I'm not going to lie.
That works.
Excellent, excellent memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I knew the Spark Notes version one at a time.
So now you played college soccer, and then So then sort of a unique route into powerlifting with the Ironmans and the marathons. Yeah. Tell us about your training for that. I mean, you train like 4 hours a day for an Ironman or what?
So I grew up playing sports, like I feel like a lot of people say, but for the bulk of my childhood, I did gymnastics. So with gymnastics, like if you're, doing competitive gymnastics, you spend probably 4 hours in the gym. Like, so I was kind of used to that from the get-go. And then I did play college soccer and afterwards started running because I felt like my body was built for it. So it was a natural progression.
Because of your long legs?
No, I'm just kidding. No, my dad ran. So it was like the only option I knew of outside of like, once you graduate college and you can't play sports anymore, like, what am I going to do? So I was like, I'll just run. Now, and running a half marathon turned into marathons and Ironman.
Is your father...
And that also makes sense.
Is your father the runner? Does he also have... A body with stump legs and arms so short he can't reach into his own pockets?
He does not. He does have very short legs, but he's built like a runner. He is the exact opposite body type of me. Yes.
Yeah, you're kind of built more like a running back than a runner.
Yeah.
But, so
built for distance.
So do you think that Your training history, particularly the triathlons and marathons, built up this kind of great work capacity for you to do all the hard training you do now?
Work capacity, definitely, but also just, I think, the mental part of it, like mental fortitude of getting through hard sessions, whether they're long or short, it has definitely helped me with. And then it also led me to start lifting with a lot of volume, which I think helped me build like a really good base of strength when I started initially. I didn't just jump like right into heavy weights. I did an insane amount of volume, probably too much volume, but it felt natural.
Meg posted on her Instagram story maybe a month ago about her resting heart rate. Right. And I was like absolutely floored to see it.
Barely alive, right?
Yeah, barely alive. I don't think I can't imagine another person that would have a resting heart rate that low and a triple body weight squat.
What was it, 43?
Yeah, and that was like I laid down and it was 43. It wasn't like in the middle of the night, So I have no idea what it is in the middle of the night. but probably very low. I'm gonna live forever, you know. My heart barely beats, so I'm gonna live forever.
Say that your heart could pump jet fuel up into an airplane. Yeah. So what spurred the transition from endurance athlete to power lifter?
Yeah, there wasn't like one specific thing. I started training out of a gym that had a lot of lifters in it, so I was kind of my first like, oh shoot, I can compete in something, I can train for something other than running or triathlons. Ironically, I didn't really get into it until afterwards, and it was because I started lifting heavier and was like, oh, this is cool to get stronger / I feel like I might be better at this. And I ended up doing both for like a year, year and a half, but I hurt my hip running and I couldn't run anymore, essentially, but I could still squat and bench. So then I kind of transitioned to just powerlifting after that.
And that was just three years ago?
That was probably like, that was actually right before about 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
So you started powerlifting 2 years ago.
Well, specifically powerlifting.
Okay.
Before that, I was running marathons and powerlifting for a year.
Okay.
The first time you kind of went heavy on the squat or bench press, how much did you lift?
Well, the first time I, like, in the gym, all right, so I'm not saying, you know, I was getting any white lights here. That's not in the USAPL, probably, but my squat was maybe 200 and my bench was, like, 165. I probably could have squatted heavier, but was a little, like, nervous. Like, I remember putting two plates on the bar for the first time, being like, yeah, I'm the strongest person alive. But when I competed in my first meet, I squatted, like, 330.
And
so there was a quick progression there.
Yeah.
But you were quite a bit.
Yeah.
You were, like, a 72-kilo class lifter then, right?
Yeah. I weighed in my sweatsuit. That was the meet I weighed in my sweatsuit, yes, naturally.
How much?
I didn't know that wasn't. Weird.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember how much you weighed?
Oh no, probably like 150.
But yeah, I you were in the 72-kilo class though, and not.
Oh, I was definitely 72.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just because of the sweatsuit, right?
Oh no, yeah. Definitely not.
It was a felt sweatsuit. And it was wet. So.
Yeah.
I packed my pockets with some change.
Yeah, like, miss, you only weigh 63.2 kilos here. You know, you don't have to wear that sweatsuit. But, all right, so, you know, we first became aware of you at, like, Orlando Nationals. And, you know, you set that big squat there and made your first 500 Wilks, I believe, and were in that super competitive 63-kilo session. And so that was, what, September, October 2017. And then fast forward 4 or 5 months to the Arnold. And I had seen you, you know, posting some weightlifting videos. And Phil Andrews, the CEO of USA Weightlifting, had actually come to me for suggestions of powerlifters who I thought could be good at weightlifting. And you were one of the names that I gave him. Along with several others, but I was like, well, this girl's great at squatting and she has a stumpy body, so I mean that in the most complimentary way. She looks like she'd be a terrible runner, so she must be good at weightlifting. So I'd seen you posting some weightlifting videos, and I think I just kind of came up to you in the back at the Arnold and was like, I don't know if we'd ever met. I mean, I'm sure he knew who I was because, well, you know, and,
naturally.
And I was like, so you're trying to do powerlifting and weightlifting, huh? And you said something. I was like, well, you should probably have Max coach you. And you're welcome.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, so connected you two shortly after the 2018 Arnold, and yeah, I mean the rest is just a history of PRs. But let's hear from the coach first. When you first, you know, talked to Meg and understood what she wanted to do from a super total perspective. What were your first impressions, Max?
Well, at first, when she first got to me, she had an injury. So she hadn't been training super hard because her back was hurt pretty bad. Or at least to the point that, like, squatting was tough and doing some other things was kind of hard. But the biggest thing looking at it was, like, you know, what are the pieces that are missing to sort of build that we need to flesh out? If we look at, like, the super total as, like, a complete pie, you know, what pieces of that pie have been eaten away or weren't there, didn't exist? And, you know, obviously the weightlifting was, like, the biggest one. So most of the time, to be totally fair, too, like, most of the time in training, we've done a lot of bodybuilding or a lot of powerlifting stuff, but there's a lot of weightlifting that goes in, and there's been a lot of work on, you know, trying to get consistency first in the weightlifting movements. And so we started with, you know, basically, like, let's shore up this as much as we can and milk that as much as we can with the most simple things. And she didn't even actually start, like, split jerking until about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. You know, she was doing mostly power jerks because they were just a little bit more, I don't know if they were more comfortable, but they were more coordinated than her split jerks. It was like a bench press where you're standing up, but your back's not arched. So, you know, we did some basic stuff like that for the most part. We tried to clean up technique and do that thing, that kind of, you know, whatever the low-hanging fruit is. Obviously, in addition to that, it's, you know, like, once her back was healthy, we started pushing the powerlifting more. And made just, you know, basic modifications to the technique she used and try to build up the area she was weak in so that she had, you know, a more comprehensive program.
So, Meg, what is a typical day or a typical week of training look like for you as you balance these two endeavors?
I mean, I really just do whatever Max tells me to do.
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, a couple accessories every once in a while. But to be honest, like, I think that it kind of changed throughout the year, especially because, I mean, when I first started, I think I literally think if I went back and I looked, like, the first week, I was, like, high bar squatting 45 kilos because I hadn't squatted in, like, 2 months. You know what I mean? So obviously, I was doing, like, nothing from the floor for a couple of months. So obviously that stuff has changed. And kind of, like, as I've gotten my strength back, a lot of things I feel like has kind of transitioned. But recently, I feel like I have a day where I do clean and jerks, a day where I do snatches, a day where I do both over here. And then I usually, like, squat twice a week and deadlift once and bench twice a week.
You only bench twice a week, really?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. You only back squatted once a week the last two blocks.
Oh, that's going true.
In, right? You back squatted once, you front squatted once as well, but
yeah.
Not as much volume in the power lifts this last cycle.
So yeah. This is five training sessions in the week then? Or like 5 days a week of training?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you typically split these up into twice a day or anything like that?
I try to do it all in one session. The only one I sometimes split up is Monday just because it tends to be longer for me. So, like, if I have to with my schedule, I'll split it up, but I try to do it all at once.
And how long is that training session typically?
Monday?
Or just on average throughout the week?
Well, it really depends how distracted I get. I try to keep it to, like, 2, 2.5.
All right.
Takes me a little while though, because there's secretly 2 squats in there. Mm. You okay?
That's tricky.
And that, like, I get through one, I'm like, yeah, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, so I need a little break, you know, like a snack or something.
Not really secret; it's written down in there, but
yeah, I forget about it though until I, like, you know. Anywho, so that probably takes me like 2, 2.5 hours. On occasion, I have been known to be in the gym for 3 hours on a Monday, but. That's only because I'm getting distracted.
Just a social butterfly.
Yes.
So you've had like 2 real super total experiences, let's say. You did the 5-bar showdown last summer, and that was weightlifting in the morning, powerlifting in the afternoon. And then, yeah, I think what we'll focus on more is this past weekend at the Arnold, you had a super total weekend where you competed in weightlifting on Thursday night and powerlifting on Saturday. So talking about, you know, putting those, whether it's in the same day or in the same weekend, how much more taxing does that feel to you than just doing a powerlifting meet?
Good question. I think it's kind of hard to say, like, whether the day of the day affair was more taxing or, like, this past weekend, only because when I did the super total in the summer, I also did a powerlifting. I cut down to 57 for the first time the week before. So that was really when I thought Max might be like, yeah, I'm done with you.
I remember that. So that was within 7 days you did two powerlifting meets and a weightlifting meet.
It was really poor planning. Like, I'm not going to lie, but it was the only meet that was like somewhere close to me that I could do in my schedule. I mean, it was my poor planning because I waited until last minute to try to qualify as a 57 for nationals, essentially. But the day was a long day, but I think it was also long because I had just competed in meet the weekend before. Mm-hmm. The weekend wasn't like, didn't feel too taxing having like a weightlifting meet and then the powerlifting meet a couple days later. I think in general, the Arnold is a very exhausting weekend just with like the amount of people that are there. Yeah,
it's like a sensory overload the whole time.
Yeah, a lot of stimuli. Yeah. So I think the weekend of the Arnold is more exhausting, but not necessarily from the two meets.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, you did your first meet in the 72 kilo class. Now you compete, you know, primarily 57 kilos for powerlifting, where you'll represent at the World Championships, 59 kilos for weightlifting, and anyone who looks at you realizes that you're shredded. You have a lot of muscles that don't have very much fat around them. What are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing from a diet standpoint?
Well, that's definitely changed from when I was 72. I think part of it was, too, I was, like, transitioning from all of this endurance activity to lifting, which, yeah, I was doing a lot of volume lifting where you're still not burning the same amount of calories. I don't eat everything that I want anymore.
Did you gain a bunch of weight right at the start of that time going from endurance to powerlifting, or...?
Probably like 10 pounds.
Yeah. You were like, I heard that you're supposed to eat donuts with all your deadlifts and stuff like that. And then, yeah.
I thought that if I had to be successful, I just had to eat donuts.
I told myself the same thing for the last 30 years.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out for me. But yeah, I'm definitely much more careful with my nutrition now. But I think the other thing is, although it's not like my favorite thing to do per se, I also feel a lot better when I'm lifting, when I'm careful with my nutrition and like more 60, 61 kilos than 70, which is a big difference because I'm 5'2".
Yeah.
Do you feel like doing, because you did powerlifting basically entirely by itself for a little bit of time, do you feel like the energy demands from a weightlifting style workout to a powerlifting style workout, like how different is that for you? And I know a lot of times those workouts are combined, you're snatching before you squat and stuff, but you know, what are your perception or maybe even advice you give somebody from a different, like the different perspective of, you know, how do you fuel yourself for those types of workouts?
I mean, it kind of depends. Like, if it's a longer workout or a shorter workout, and I think sometimes it's hard to differentiate. Like, if you do a bench workout, you're not actually using that much energy. Like, you don't need to go crazy and carb up for your bench workout, especially if you're, you know, a smaller female, typically not benching as much, versus, like, my Monday workout when I'm clean and jerking and squatting twice and doing some accessories as well. And I'm in the gym for a while and I'm using a lot of energy. But like for me, doing my weightlifting workouts, I don't feel like they are as taxing as when I squat and deadlift right now, just because I'm very much limited by my technique rather than my strength.
It's like the weightlifting workouts are more a mind exercise, and the powerlifting is a body exercise.
Yes. I'm like really hoping there's a day that they're a mind exercise and also a body exercise in the future.
I know we all have goals to hit, whether it's eating healthier or exercising more, and sometimes it can be hard to achieve all these goals while struggling with other aspects of life. There's an app that I highly recommend to help you hit those goals a bit easier. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of books quickly without reading the entire book. With the audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish 4 books a day just while you're on the go. 8 million people use Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library for self-help, business, health, to history books. I like Blinkist because just while I'm cooking breakfast or something, I can get 15 minutes quick information in. Maybe I'm just driving around running errands. And so it's so easy to enhance your day, enhance your knowledge in short bursts throughout the day. I've read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People on there, one of my favorites. They got tons of health and nutrition books like Sleep Revolution on there. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for our Jug Life audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Jug Life to start your 7-day free trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/Jug Life to start your 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/Jug Life. So we had a hugely successful training cycle this past one. You know, every week, I think, you know, Marissa and I were seeing their videos and sending each other the links back and forth, like, holy shit, did you see what Meg did? Did you see what Meg did? So, coach and athlete, what do you think? And, you know, not that the training cycle before Nationals wasn't great too, but it just seems like you got so much great momentum going now. What would you attribute that to?
From my perspective, I think the biggest thing is just that the training was adjusted, you know, over the course of the last, you know, working with her the last year. It's been adjusted more and more to what works for her. We keep dialing in the volume and the training itself a little bit better each time, the right exercises. And then also, like, something, you know, writing program for Meg is a little bit different than writing, like, just a basic program where, you know, one of the big aspects of writing something for a particular person is that as time goes on, you learn a little bit more about how they adapt to the volume, how they adapt to things. So, you know, you make these adjustments where, you know, she might go 4 or 5 weeks before a deload, or there's a different type of, you know, a little bit more loading. We stay in certain ranges longer just because, you know, that from experience, you're getting better results from these places where, you know, if you had to just explain a program to somebody or create a generic program, it might not have those sort of intricacies to it. So I think that's the big thing from my perspective. And also in addition to, like, you know, her obviously taking on the role of a person who's wants to get better and, you know, committing to the technique, committing to things, learning how to do things that maybe are different. You know, I think one really good example is the deadlift with Meg. Like, we picked some different exercises that I think helped kind of reinforce some of her, or not reinforce, but eliminate some of her weaknesses, or at least give her the tools to be successful in the deadlift. You know, she was so patient off the floor, being able to just literally stay pulling, continue to pull, even though it looked like for about 3 minutes nothing was going to happen, and then finally it comes up. You know, and that's, they're, you know, doing some block pulls, really, really heavy block pulls, I think helps facilitate some of that, you know, tactile feel and just resilience to be able to do that. In addition to her, you know, being confident enough to stay with that kind of technique and make it work for her. So yeah. I'm not sure for her side, but
I mean, it seems like there's so many moving parts to what you guys got to do, because anytime, the more elite a competitor becomes, and obviously Meg is as elite as it gets for powerlifting. Everything has to be more fine-tuned to milk out that next, you know, whether you're chipping for half a kilo records or, you know, the next 2.5 kilos on the total and stuff. It's got to get that much more refined. And then you put balancing the powerlifting with the weightlifting training, then it, you know, adds another layer of complexity, the developing the technique and maintaining the movement quality for weightlifting, and, you know, being a powerlifter learning weightlifting rather than a weightlifter learning powerlifting. That's another layer of complexity. Then the body weight manipulation as we get closer to competition, another layer of complexity. So, you know, brava to both of you for making that happen so effectively. Which brings us to getting to showcase all of that. This past Saturday, Rogue Strength Stage Grand Prix presented by SBD with Gino, you know, going apeshit the whole time. But so let's take us through the day at the Grand Prix. I mean, 9 for 9, all PRs, 32.5 kilo total PR, all that great stuff. But yeah, just take us through the day.
Well, I think in general, this has nothing to do with the deck, but this is going to get us today. All right, this is going to get us today. I think in general, like, a huge thing for me about sticking with weightlifting, like, that has helped my powerlifting, is the fact that it's very, like, humbling to me because, well, I fail a lot at it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really good at powerlifting, and then I try this thing, and I'm like, wow, I can't do this at all. Even though it's still a strength sport, it's completely different. And, like, in weightlifting, the best weightlifters are very, very good and very, very technical, but they're always looking to get better technically. And I feel like, I'm like, well, why don't, like, I feel like powerlifters don't necessarily do that. They're just looking to get stronger. And even though powerlifting is way simpler technically, you can still get better technically and put more kilos on the bar. And I feel like in a way it's helped me like step back and realize that with my powerlifting as well, if that makes sense. And then on the flip side, like building on the past 10 months, like working with Max, sometimes he puts things in my training and I'm like, well, this man is crazy. And I don't mean exercise. Weights. He wants to lift a certain weight, and I'm like, I don't think so. Like for a certain amount of reps, but like I've gone through so many weeks of being like, well, that worked. So it's like building up this trust that when I get to the meet, like so when I got to the Grand Prix, I'm like, well, I'm just gonna lift whatever he puts on the bar because if Max thinks I can lift it, unless I screw up, I can lift it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It does.
So I show up to the Grand Prix. I'm like, let's go.
So the squat, American record, 187 and a half kilos. So you now have the 57 kilo class American record and the 63 kilo class American record. Do you think you could have lifted 188 kilos?
If I didn't put my butt on the floor, maybe. but you know, I have a tendency to squat really deep, so I cannot guarantee that.
Yeah, that was a very impressive fight there.
Yeah. That's definitely something that's new for me, and that's definitely mental and confidence under the bar, but being able to grind through some lifts, whereas before that would have definitely been a fail.
What do you think helped you, like, do you think doing a lot of those really hard top set kind of workouts made a big difference for that during the cycle?
Yeah, I do. And, like, getting through some of those that I'm like, oh, I don't really think I could do another rep, but I can. And then almost when you do that rep, you're like, you know what? If someone came up to me and said, could you do another? I'm probably like, yeah, sure. I might die. But, yeah, I could get through another. And, like, being able to hold the position so much better under the weight has helped me a ton.
Yeah, I think that really shows in, you know, when you're talking about patience in the deadlift. Maybe I just hadn't seen as many of your deadlift videos as I had squat, because I saw the opener and I was like, Oh, that kind of stayed on the ground for a while, and then it went.
You should have seen her last warm up. She did her last warm up, and I think everyone in the back room saw her 160 warm up, and was like, "Oh, well, Meg's done after
her.
That's over."
Well, if they would have seen her last two warm ups and at the weightlifting meet on Thursday.
Can you wait a secret? Well, that's really the secret. Just meet all your fans a couple days before.
Yeah. Oh, and to jump quickly back to the weightlifting, I know we've kind of jokingly downplaying your weightlifting here, and you're not going to worlds like you are in powerlifting, but you did qualify for nationals, which is something 95% of weightlifters in the country are trying to unsuccessfully trying to do. So congratulations there. So you hit the, you grind through this 187.5 squat PR, American record in the 63s, onto the bench. I mean, your bench is really, when you see the videos, the most remarkable. Like, holy shit, she's just crushing these heavy benches. And you opened at your PR, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you opened equally in your PR of 107.5 kilos, 238. Then that looked super easy. 112.5 super easy, or 115 super easy. 117.5 looked super easy as well. To put so much on your... You'd benched, 112 before nationals?
No, 107 was her PR.
Like, yeah. Training or competition?
Yeah. I think you might have benched 109.
Yeah.
Before nationals.
Before nationals, yeah, maybe.
But still, to put, for a female powerlifter to put 9 kilos on their lifetime best, or 10 kilo bench PR in a year, in 2 years, there's probably a lot of women out there, who, if they could put 10 kilos on their bench in like 5 years, is not an unrealistic thing, and you just did that in one training cycle. Was there something that you guys changed about the bench training or anything that made that possible?
Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription, reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. Instead of heading to the doctor year after year just to renew your prescription for something you wear every day, you can do it on your own time and terms in just a few minutes. This is vision care for the 21st century. You can take the 5-minute Simple Contacts vision test online. It'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. Even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you. There are a million things demanding your time, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription, reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Your couch? Yep. The office? No problem. The doctor's office is now wherever you are. It's designed by ophthalmologists, and a licensed doctor reviews every test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment, which without insurance could cost up to $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, they're offering a special promotion to Jug Life listeners. You can get $20 off by visiting simplecontacts.com/juglife20 or enter the code JUGLIFE20 at checkout. That's $20 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/juglife20 or enter code JUGLIFE20 at checkout. Make sure, remember, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but if you are in need of convenience, get $20 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/juglife20 or enter code JUGLIFE20 at checkout.
Well, I mean, I don't know what she would say, but I think personally the two biggest things that have an impact on her bench from like an exercise is, one, we did a lot of flat back, no arch, feet up bench pressing, flat back. with whatever arch you're gonna get just by tightening up your shoulders, and then a lot of spoto pressing and just a lot of bench pressing in general. I mean, the volume of bench workouts is pretty high, but I think that, to me, that seemed like it was the biggest thing. She also responds really, really well to the bench training. So, I mean, there's certainly a special case there. I don't know what she would say, but
I think that the bench exercises that we have been doing have helped me, like, learn how to get tighter better. You know what I'm going for. But the other thing that kind of like Max said is what has surprised me the past couple of months, even say like a couple months before Nationals when we with bench and like the different upper body accessories is I kind of realized that my upper body responds very much like my lower body in the sense of like my upper body muscle mass is much more than it was before. Even though I'm lighter.
Your armpit muscles are exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I know, right? Yeah. That's the secret.
Exceptional armpit muscles.
No, but it's pretty wild. Like, my upper body responds very well, which I know I don't think is as typical with females.
Yeah, I mean, I found with Marissa doing the feet up benching is a big thing, and people see the competition videos and they're like, oh, it's just this arch and everything. I think a lot of female lifters become almost, you know, they use the arch as a crutch, and like, yeah, it's great for competition, but you gotta do the harder work and build the muscle too. Like, you can't just arch your way to this great bench.
Yeah, and even when I do arch, I try to like tell people, and I don't think they necessarily believe me, but when I get into my bench position, I'm not thinking, how can I make my arch as big as possible? I'm really thinking, how can I get as tight as possible? Mm-hmm. I just happen to have a huge arch when I do that, you know?
Yeah. I was one of those use the arch as a crutch. to the point that I was receiving international praise for my bench press.
Meg, do you know who Boris Shekko is, Meg?
Yeah.
He told Max that Max had the best bench press technique he had ever seen besides Kirill Sarachev, the bench press world record holder.
And subsequently, the weakest bench press of anyone he'd ever seen.
Yeah, so I'd say the ratio of bench press technique to bench press strength is a bit askew.
Literally, I was all technique. I couldn't lift the bar if I was in the wrong position. It's impossible.
All right, so then, you know, great deadlifting, 9 for 9 day, all that good stuff. I mean, you know, I was working the numbers for the IPF formula and shit, you know, texting Max back and forth. This IPF formula is a very vexing subject to me, but I don't know all of the details of it well enough to really comment. I just know that you were the best lifter there, but did not win first in the Grand Prix. But that was frustrating. But as you look forward to Worlds, Jug Squad invading Sweden, eight lifters, 7 Team USA members, the trio of open ladies, golden girls, I would say. What are some goals you have going towards Worlds? Keep answering. I gotta go grab my charger real quick, but answer even though I'm not here.
I mean, my number one goal is to obviously to win.
Well, that's the most fun.
However, that has to happen. But I think I'm going into it with the same mindset that I have for Nationals and the Grand Prix, which is just to show up and do what I can on the day and not worry about anyone else. And Max will put on the bar what we need. Right?
So it goes. Yeah.
And not freak out when they call how much weight is on the deadlift bar for my last deadlift, which I didn't. A little nervous about that, but I didn't.
After having done this meet and done those numbers, do you feel like, and looking back on those lifts when you see them in videos, do you feel like there was more? Obviously, probably the squats are probably a no, but like, I was. The one lift out of all three the one lift out of all nine that I was most unsure of whether or not you'd make was the 117 bench press, which ended up being the easiest of all the lifts. Only because, you know, with the bench, like, I didn't know if it was just gonna hit a wall. And I knew you have an incredible ability to grind through bench presses. I mean, it wasn't like that. It was just like, well, it's a big number. Let's see how it feels. Maybe there's something taken out of it. But as you deadlifted and squatted, I knew there was more there. I knew you could go through those. Was there any one lift in that whole thing that you think like, oh yeah, I left so much on the platform that it'll be easy to make big progress just by taking bigger lifts at Worlds?
I mean, the one that on that day, I would I'll take a fourth attempt, would have been bench. But I also almost told Max to put 115 on the bar. So.
Because you never held, you never attempted 117 in any.
No. Actually, this is kind of a fun fact. All of those weights, I've never actually, I mean, even if it was like a half kilo, I did 187 in the gym, so it was like half kilo more, you know, but I'd never done any of those weights before. Which, is kind of a cool thing. That's never happened to me.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You got to do it most when it actually counts, not leaving them in the gym.
I know. It can't be a mental case. So it was a big, growing up. Stepping stone, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm very much looking forward to Sweden. I'm looking forward to seeing your progress as we move towards that. Hopefully, we get a little training camp here in Southern California leading up to that. Meg, where can people follow you on social media and all that stuff?
Mostly, I'm on Instagram at MegScanLift.
Very clever.
So that's very clever.
MegScanLift. We'll try and put it on the screen or something like that. People living in the greater Boston area, if they need a personal trainer, they could hit you up for that too, huh?
Call it at your girl.
and you do some online.
That was actually weird. Please don't holler at your girl. But there's actually a ton of powerlifters out here. It's fun to get together. So if anyone is in the Boston area, holler at me in a non-creepy way.
Well,
and I'll respond.
I hope they go for more of the creepy way of hollering. That's more entertaining for me to hear about after the fact. Marissa sent me a video in which a guy had auto-tuned this rap, and all the lyrics were DMs sent by Indian guys to girls. I gotta find it again. It was fucking incredible. Incredible.
That sounds awesome.
Max, where can they follow you, bud?
You can find me on Instagram, max_ada, on Facebook, or email me at max@jtsstrength.com.
All right. If you're interested in online coaching, powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, so you can aspire to be like Meg, power building, all that stuff, jtsstrength.com has all the info. We have options for every level. We've got, the powerlifting AI coaching. If you follow #ChadBot on Instagram, if you follow me, or which you probably do if you're listening to this, you're seeing it in the story all the time. People turning their one rep max into five rep maxes. This summer we'll have that we'll have weightlifting AI. Following that, we'll have super total AI. So be on the lookout for all of those. Get in on the beta pricing on them while you can. Subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube, leave us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that. Mrs. Scanlon, thank you for joining us. Congratulations again on the awesome lifting, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right.